Hello and welcome to a very Canadian edition of the Punk News Podcast. I am Emmore, Punk News news editor, and so much more, and I am here to regale everyone with stories of the Polaris Music Prize 2024. So, John, well, and I'm here with John, featured
What's
with.
that? What's that?
With the traditional Canadian greeting.
And do you even know what that's from?
It's from a commercial,
Yeah,
a Super Bowl commercial.
Budweiser commercial. Indeed, correct.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's good. It's good. See, that's how we greet each other up north. We have to do that. If you don't, you get exiled.
Oh, see, I thought like you exchanged bags of milk. I thought in Canada, like everyone like walked around with a bag of milk and they're like, nice to meet you. Try my bag of milk. And the other person's like, indeed, try my bag of milk.
Yeah, mine's better. Yo, yours is 2%. Well, mine's homogenized. And then, oh my gosh, wars have been fought over less, I swear. Yep. But yeah, so are you familiar with the Polaris Music Prize?
I am, but why don't you let the listeners know, Em? Because not everyone lives in Canada. Stop being so
Rude.
Canadian-centric.
Never, never. I will stick on the path of the moose. Jesus Christ, that sounded awful, but you know what I
Sounded
mean.
pretty bad, Em. I'm not
Yeah.
gonna lie. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. That sounded pretty bad.
Yeah, that wasn't
Em,
good.
what is the Polaris Music Prize?
The Polaris Music Prize is a yearly prize that is given out to an album that a group of jurors decide is the Canada's best album essentially for the year. So the winner gets $50,000. They get like a bunch of performance opportunities and just a lot of really cool things. And it's just a really like great thing to win, and it's a really great thing to be a part of. So every year, like jurors kind of gather, and in total there are over 200 from across the country. So there's people from every province, every territory, and who love to talk about music, which is really, really awesome. And everyone gets together and recommends albums that they think are deserving. So there's a period of availability, which starts in the spring of the previous year when submissions close and then go to the point. So it's like it's a year to year point. And everybody, well, not everybody recommends stuff, but everyone gets in on the discussions and talks about like, oh, this album is really great because, or I wrote about this album, or you know, whatever. So you have a lot of really great conversations, and you're exposed to a lot of music that you probably wouldn't have sought out on your own, or a lot of different artists and a lot of different genres, which is really, really exciting and really cool. So that's like the main thing. So everyone's recommending stuff. You're going through, again, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of albums that get recommended. And at a certain point, it's time to vote for the long list. So everybody gets their ballots and everybody votes for what albums they want to see on the long list. The long list is 40 albums. 40 albums seems like a lot, but it really isn't, you know, when you kind of look at it. And this year's was really great. It was kind of spanning genres. There's pop albums, there's rap albums, there's punk albums, there's metal albums. Like there's just so much like great Canadian like stuff, really great music. And from there, the jury votes for the shortlist, which is 10 albums in total. And the 10 albums, they get like really cool posters made up for them, and they get played on, like, there's this huge special that plays on the CBC radio network, talking about introducing each album. So the host will introduce the album. A jury member will have something to say about the album, so that will get played. songs will get played from the album, and you'll get a little bit of history of the band, and you'll also get to hear a fair amount of the songs, mostly the singles. Later on, they do CBC does a really good job of producing the 10. So that's kind of an in-depth look at all of the albums, all of the listening. It's like a listening party. So they have experts, like music industry people talking about stuff, and that could be reviewers, that could be people who write for CBC, that could be people who are involved in the radio, or whatever. It's just this huge span of like people who, again, love talking about music and do. So that's really cool. And there a grand jury is convened for 10, where everybody who is on it represents a certain album, presents something, and kind of voting goes on from there. So it's a very secretive process. It's a very like the doors are closed, you know, this is kind of a secret little club kind of thing, which is always really fun and interesting. This is my first year on the jury in general, and this was also my first year on the grand jury, which I was really surprised and kind of elated about. I wasn't expecting that, so that was very exciting. And I was representing Set Your Pussy Free by Nobro. You can't say that on the radio, which is really funny. So anytime it was like announced, it was Set Your Free. So it's just like a couple minutes of silence. Just really funny. But it was the only album title to be censored this year. Obviously not in the past, because like Fucked Up have been nominated and they've won. They won for Chemistry of Common Life. There's also an electronic band out of Canada called Holy Fuck, who were also nominated. I don't think they won, but they were nominated, and they had a cool little poster done for them too. So nobody knows the winner until the gala, which is
Well,
a
somebody
fun
has to
way
know the
to build
winner.
it.
I mean, somebody has to know the winner.
Like one person knows the winner and keeps it quiet until the day. So no one has any idea who's gonna win. No one has any idea really like what's gonna happen either. Like, what are people gonna perform? What's gonna like go on that way? So that was very cool. And the gala took place at Massey Hall. So are you familiar with Massey Hall?
I've never been there. I know Effed Up have played there before. I know a lot of bands play there.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this iconic venue, and Gordon Lightfoot played there so many times, and
Oh,
it
wow. Well, Gordon Lightfoot played there. Wow.
it's Gordon Lightfoot, John. But yeah, so it's this really cool venue, and I'd never been there before. I didn't know where it was really. And it was kind of funny because we got there and it was like, oh my God, I've walked pa past this place so many times. There's a diner like right across from it, that I used to eat at all the time when I was like going to school in Toronto. And it was like, I just never put two and two together that Massey Hall was right there, I guess, which was just kind of funny. It's also like not too far down, out of one of the exits to the Eaton Center. So it's pretty central overall, which is really cool. But it's been renovated, so I think it dates back to the 1800s, if I'm correct. Obviously built by the Massey family. And it's huge. Like, it doesn't, your waiting area is really small, but once you get in, it's like this kind of big cavernous space. And when they redid it, they had to do so much work to get like the acoustics right, because they're like, oh, we don't want to like fuck it up, right? We want to make sure it's good, and we want to make sure people can, what the venue's like known for and what people love about it is still a part of it. So I think they did pretty well. Obviously, it's my first time there, so I can't really speak on that, but it seems really good. Seemed really good. The floor is huge and it's like kind of sloped, so you no matter where you're standing, like you have a pretty decent view of the stage. They do have seats, usually, and then they pull those out for concerts or push them under the stage for concerts. So they open everything up, and then there's seating around the floor, and then seating all the way up, kind of balcony area. So this year's theme was ice. They have a lot of like icebergs and really, really cool, blue and green color scheme and everything. So when you walked in, there was this projection that was like, "Welcome to Polaris Music Prize Gala," and it was this iceberg that was kind of moving on the screen. So that was pretty neat, and everybody like poured in kind of all at once. So everyone's like filling up, and I'm just like scanning the crowd because it's like, oh, I want to meet, some people. And it got so busy so fast, and then the show started. So that was pretty wild. And it started with Alicepe, who was on the short list. All of the performers who were at the gala were on the short list, so all of the 10 you got to experience in one way or another. Some weren't there in person, so Cindy Lee, for their performance, had a music video premiere that like they draw on themselves and like all this kind of stuff, and it was pretty neat how like they projected it and made just kind of a music video seem larger than life. And Alison Russell also wasn't there to perform, but she had a ballet troupe who performed like this like really beautiful piece to Eve is Black off of The Returner. So that was like super powerful, and that was like opened up the crowd. So everyone's like standing around on the floor, and the dancers are right in the middle. And there were cameras around, so like if you were sitting at the back or sitting up here or whatever, you could see what was going on. Just wild. Have you ever like seen a ballet?
I have seen ballet, yes.
It's nuts. And like that close too, it's like, oh my God, how are you doing that with your body?
That's cool. That's cool.
It's beyond amazing. Debbie Friday, who won last year for her album Good Luck, was the host, and it was pretty good because people were talking quite a bit. So she's just like, hey everybody, I'm talking now, shut up, and stuff like that, which was really funny. And I saw afterwards on Instagram, she's like, I had a great time. I told people to shut up like three times. It was great. Best night of my life, kind of thing. Great charisma, just great host, kept everything moving pretty well. The set change times weren't too long. Jordan Miller, or I didn't really talk about Alicepe, but so she opened the show with her cover of The Unforgiven by Metallica. So she was nominated for Inuktitut, which is an album of covers of songs that she translated into Inuktitut and sings in the language. And it is absolutely like beautiful. It'll hit you like kind of right in your heart, kind of thing. It's absolutely amazing. And The Unforgiven is haunting. It was such a way to open it. She does like Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, and Heart of Glass by Blondie too. So it's
Why
just
are all
like
these bands becoming American bands, and they should be becoming Canadian bands?
well, because the whole point of the album was like these are things that like she really connected with growing up and stuff. So it's like, I'm gonna make them mine and reclaim it like through the language and stuff. I'm trying to think if there are any Canadian artists on there. I do believe so. I'll pull her up and just see. But yeah, just so good. And well, there's some like bands from other places. Like they're not just from the States. But that was so great way to start the show. Absolutely amazing album too. Like if you haven't listened to it, listen to some of it. There's like a little bit of throat singing in it too, and there's all these like traditional instruments and everything, and it's just this really cool environment and very powerful kind of message for it. Jordan Miller, who's the lead singer of The Beaches, was next because they were nominated for Blame My Ex. Did that song make it big in America? Was it as inescapable as it was here?
I don't think so, no.
All right. Very catchy song, very catchy album. And she performed with the Thunder Queens as her backing band. So the Thunder Queens are a punk band from London, Ontario. And they are incredible. They are so good. They're one of like the future kind of punk, so energetic. I think we've talked about them a bit on the podcast before. And it was so nice to see them being given a platform by kind of like a more established band, you know? So that was pretty cool. And they played two of their songs. Oh, that was the other thing. Charlotte Cardin wasn't there. Her album 99 Nights was nominated, and it like swept at the Junos. And, you know, like I think she won a Grammy, or she was at least nominated for a Grammy for the album, and the songs were everywhere. Like confetti was everywhere. And stuff. She had to pull out last minute because she caught COVID. We are in a wave now, so mask up, make sure, you know, you're safe kind of thing, because it's getting really bad again. So she couldn't be there in person. So what she did is she sent a live orchestra along with a live video of herself performing. And the orchestra performed with her video, and it sounded incredible. It was like this huge sound, and just like, you know, like you're in an orchestra pit kind of thing. It's just so cool how it's like, you
That's
know,
cool.
multimedia. Yeah. How multimedia stuff really like ties in and draws in and whatever. I know it wasn't, but it was like when you go or when you went to see a movie and it was like a silent film and they did have that, and just like, well, how would that be? How would that connect or whatever? And it's like, no, it would be like extremely immersive. No Bro was up after Charlotte Cardin, and I got really close, which was great. Kind of maneuvered.
Were they like M, thank you for campaigning so hard on our behalf. Did they thank you, or how does that work? Like, do you reach out to the band and say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to battle for you," or do they not know, or how does that work?
Yeah, so if you're on grand jury, you can't say anything until a certain time, a point in time, when it's like okay for you to come out and say, "Hey, I was a part of this, and this is who I represented," and you can't say anything more than that. So the day of the gala was when our identities were made public, and then like we could make our own posts and stuff. In the post announcing who we were, it didn't say who we represented. That was up to us if we wanted to make that public or not. But no, like there wasn't anything like that. There were like, you know, shout out to the jury as a whole, and like shout out to the grand jury and stuff like that.
So like, when does No Bro know that you're fighting on their behalf?
After the fact.
After, okay.
Yeah.
And so do they like reach out to you and say, "Em, thanks for everything," or they like were they like, "Screw you," or what was it like?
The bands and artists usually don't reach out or talk
Why
to
not?
people. I think it's just because they might not like know just because they're doing so many other things. Like a lot of the bands who are playing this, they were on tour and this was like a tour stop. You know what I mean? Like they're just really, really, really busy. But it was really neat because when Debbie Friday introduced them, she used some of my words, which was really exciting. So it's neat to hear something that you've written out of someone else's mouth. So for the announcement radio show, I wrote something about the band to at that point I didn't know I was on Grand Jury. It was just, would you like to do this? And I was like, of course. So I wrote something about the band, introducing them and saying like why the album is good and why it deserves to be on the short list. So it was just a really surreal experience. Like I'm standing there close to the stage, and it's like, wow, that sounds mighty familiar. And I was like, oh yeah, because I said those words. So that was just a really cool little surreal experience. It's also very different when you're walking through a crowd of people who aren't at a punk show. People at a punk show know, or there's more kind of fluidity of movement and of kind of getting around. So that was just an interesting thing that I wasn't expecting. But anyway, it's just kind of fun, or just an observation. So Nobro killed it. They were so good. They had a disco ball that like lit up, kind of, just so much energy. They started like with a chant, so everyone got on their side like immediately. They had like crowd participation moments. They had bongo solos, like kind of what more do you want?
How long did they play for?
Everyone played for about 10 to 15 minutes, I think.
Oh, that's a long time or something like that.
I think it was a couple songs. Everyone played between two and three songs. They played kind of a medley, so they played Where Are My Girls At? They played AI Sex Bots and a little bit of Let's Do Drugs. So it was really fun, and it felt like you are at a show. And after Nobro, it was time for an intermission. So they have a downstairs bar. They don't have bars on the floor or kind of, around like other venues do. So there's one downstairs. That's where the main one is. So went downstairs, and that's where you could buy posters too. Like I mentioned, they commission artists to do special editions of like their thoughts on the album, basically. So it's what you listen to this and what does it compel you to create, which is always really fun and always really cool. And the Nobro one was has like a cat and it's wearing shoes, but it's missing a shoe and it's like scratching people, and it's really cool. So ended up buying the poster because I was like, I'm here, it's there, why not? And they're limited quantities, they're like hand printed in Toronto, so that was cool. And then I ran into Adam, which was exciting. We
That's
finally met in
cool.
person.
Did you know you were gonna run into him, or you happened to run into him?
Kind of new because it was like I got there really early and I was like, hey, are we allowed into this like thing? And he was like, I don't think so. Like just texting. And then kind of throughout the night it was like echolocation. It was like, where are you? Oh, I'm here. Okay. And whatever. And then it was like, all right, we'll probably be able to like meet up during the intermission or whatever. So it was like, that was good. It's nice to have phones. Phones are really helpful.
So what was like meeting Adam in person? Did he meet your expectations? Was he like you thought he would be? Was he different than you thought he would be?
I think he was pretty much how I thought he would be, which was good. And yeah, it was just really nice because, again, like, you talk to someone almost weekly for a while, and then, you don't, and then, you talk to them a little bit on social media, and, you talk to them a little bit about like different music and different things that are going on. And it's just a really, really cool feeling to finally be able to put like a body to that, you know, and kind of a like a general vibe. So that was all, that's always fun and always interesting. So yeah, I got to meet him and I got to meet his wife, Julie, and they're both super, super nice. And we talked for quite a while, and we ended up not hearing when the intermission was like back or over. So we're like booking it up the stairs to like get back in, and they've closed the main doors, you know. And that's when the great moment of unhingedness was captured and sent to you. Was like we're pretty much like on the run back up. That was really funny. And yeah, like to get back into the venue, you had to like scan your ticket again and whatever. So at that point, the ballet was going on. So it was like, oh wow, it's like right there. You know, it's like right in the circle. So we were standing, watching that together for a little bit, which was nice. And then the crowd kind of shifted for the next act, which was Toby, who was up for his album Panic. So he does like really interesting rap. And it's a mix of like talking about masculinity and talking about mental health and talking about like all sorts of different things. And lots of storytelling, and then there's a little bit of kind of like bravado in it. So that was really cool to see. He also did three songs. And when it started off with like backup singers, and it started off with the lead or the opening track for the album. And like with the backup singers, and it was such this like kind of build and very like cinematic kind of thing. And he had a lot of like he had a really great stage presence, and one of the songs that they did too was Protect You, which is one of like the sweetest songs on the album. And it's so emotional, and you can really like you could really feel it in the room too. Like he really brought that like forward for a lot of people. That was the other thing, right? Is like, you know, you've spent so much time or I've spent so much time with these albums, and then to see them brought to life and how the artists do it is like whole other level. Like it takes it to like, okay, because one thing that you're not supposed to do is take the artist's live show into consideration when you're like listening to the albums for the long list or the short list or whatever. Be you're because the album is supposed to stand on its own. It's not supposed to be like, oh, well, I saw it live and that changed it. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be as a recorded body of work, it stands as one solid unit. So I was kind of surprised with the amount, or the difference, I guess, of it live, of you understand something so well recorded, and then live it takes on a whole new dimension. So again, it's that thing of like recorded verse, verse live and how important that is. And again, it just kind of shows the power that live music has and the crowd has. Because seeing how everyone reacts to something too is always like really special because you know how you react to it. And then you're in this group where everyone is having their own unique experiences to it, which is really cool. It was kind of funny too during his set. Where I was standing, I saw somebody that I thought I knew. So I was just in kind of like looking at them to be like, wait, do I know you? And then they made eye contact. And I'm like, oh shit, no, I don't. And then I was like, haha, I was not looking at anyone. You know? So I was like, ah. And Jeremy Dutcher was next. And he does kind of like folk it mixed with like kind of traditional indigenous music, and he uses everything to get the language of his people back out there because he's one of only like a handful of speakers. So he's trying to keep it alive and everything. And with his first album, he used a lot of like wax recordings of people talking to like incorporate it, you know, and stuff. And that's, yeah. So the album that he was performing, the name is the word in his language for witch. And the whole album is very, like, it has this magical quality and it's exploring, but it's exploring all these really heavy topics. So there's a lot of like grief and but there's also like joy and it's very emotional and it's very much a journey of like you're going from like severe despair to like, okay, well, these people are gone, but we need to remember them well. And this is how we can remember them well. And all of this kind of stuff. So it's a very, like, again, powerful thing. And when he came out on stage with, again, a lot of backup singers, and like the room was silent.
Wow.
It was like a hush kind of fell over everybody. And it was absolutely incredible. This is also, I should mention, his first album to feature English lyrics as well. So, the songs that they performed were very like joyous and vibrant, like all this kind of stuff, and really like got you into it. And then kind of right when you're like, oh, they're gonna do another one, right? They just leave. And it was just like, oh, I guess oh yeah, your time did pass. You know what I mean? It was just something that's kind of funny. And Deja SB was next. So Deja SB does like hip hop and rap and stuff, very like 90s influenced. And they were up for their album, The Flower That Knew. Lots of like obviously flower imagery when they were performing. They had like a custom tracksuit that had like Deja SB and like The Flower That Knew and all these like cool like flower decals and. The backdrop was all videos of flowers at different kind of stages of blooming. And the songs are like focus a lot on mental health and focus a lot on kind of like growth. You know, so flower imagery is very apt, but there's also a lot of like humor and stuff in them. There's a lot of like kind of different references that are used in a lot of different ways. Like there's one line that's like, I feel like Velma when she loses her glasses and stuff that's used in a very kind of like poignant way, which I think is really interesting. But yeah, so they did songs from that album and they did a couple songs from one of their previous albums, I believe, as well. And one of the people who kind of put everything together at one point got up and like said a few words about the prize and what it means to be involved in it and everything before kind of, you know, everyone's building anticipation. There's one more performance left and then we're going to find out who wins, right? So they like planned it
That's
out.
high
Sorry.
intensity, especially like if you're one of the bands performing, or whatever. That's intense. Like you don't know if you're gonna.
Yeah.
How much money do you win?
$50,000.
And so, what's the bigger prize, the accolades or the cash?
Probably the cash. But the accolades are pretty good too. Like Debbie Friday, who's a host, was a previous winner, and she used that money to like help fund her like next album and stuff. So both are pretty good, but like the cash I think edges out a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So oh, yeah, I can't even imagine like the nerves. You know, because it's like, I don't know who wins and I'm excited. And it's like, these people are all up for it. They must be like absolutely like, you know, shaken. And then they have to perform on top of that, right?
Do you feel pressure as an advocator for your team to win? Like, do you feel nervous that way?
A little bit because it's like, I want them to win. You know, I want them to win so bad and everything. But it's also like, you have to be of in the mindset where it's like, well, everybody who's in this pool is very talented, and if anybody wins, it's a good thing, you know? So you can't be too bummed if your people don't win, but obviously you want them to win.
So how many votes are there total?
Total for which one?
To win the main prize.
Oh, that's decided between a group of 11.
And were you one of the 11 people that got to vote?
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense. So
Yeah.
how many albums were on the short list?
10.
So the winner really gets probably two votes.
It depends. It goes through stages. Like you keep voting until there is a clear winner. So like somebody has to win by a certain margin. So yeah, like it's just a lot of voting until someone wins.
Wait, so how many rounds of voting are there?
It depends for how competitive like
Like if there's only
everything
two,
is.
if there's only two albums left at the end, then you know one of the two winners, right?
But that's not how it works.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how many albums were left at the final vote?
There is a top five.
Okay, and was your team in the top five?
I can't say.
You can't say. Why not?
A lot, all of that is secret.
Why does that need to be secret now, though? I guess is my question. Now that someone's already won.
It's part of something, an agreement you make.
But I mean, what's their rationale behind it? Or you don't know?
It's just to make sure like nobody like kind of gets an insight into it.
So,
Yeah.
but
Very
by the fact
secretive.
that you were nervous beforehand suggests to me that Nobro was in the top five.
I can't say if they were or not.
Go ahead, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, so like, you know, all this anticipation's like building. And they had like spaced the performances really well for like a mix of like high energy and a little bit more mellow and whatever. And they closed the last performance was Bambi, who is a DJ, and they were nominated for, or she was nominated for Infinity Club, which is the shortest album that has ever been nominated for Polaris. Alternately, Cindy Lee's Diamond Jubilee is the longest at over 2 hours. It's technically a double album.
What would have to be? I mean, because you can only get it max, you can get about 55 minutes, maybe 60 on a record. So 2 hours would have to be two records.
It's a journey. And that one is only available on YouTube or through GeoCities. Because the artist doesn't want.
GeoCities? What is this, like 1999 or something?
Much.
GeoCities.
Because the artist was like, I just want to make art. You know, I just want to do what I want to do.
My
I
next
don't want
album will be on
anyone to
MySpace. You can hear my album
like.
exclusively on MySpace.
Yes. Yes, with listening party with Tom, right? Tom from MySpace,
Oh, yeah,
is
right. Tom. I forgot about Tom.
Everybody's best friend or top five or whatever. Oh yes, I think Infinity Club was like 18 minutes. Just like contrast. But anyway, so it has this like really cool opening to it that's Welcome to the Infinity Club in a bunch of different languages, all kind of like swirl together. So that's how like she opened the set and then like did a medley of pretty much all the songs. And there was this strobe light that was going, and someone would come out and like dance in the strobe light and then leave. And it like that happened every couple minutes or whatever. And the whole like crowd was just dancing like crazy. It was wild. It was so cool. I have never seen a strobe light that intense either. Because at one point it was like, okay, I'm just gonna look away for a minute. And I like looked up to the balcony and it looked like the balcony was like jumping. And it was like, oh, that's a powerful light. So everyone's like real hyped, right, at that point. And Debbie Friday comes out and she has this like case, and the way that they announce it is they open the case, like the host opens it and pulls out like the vinyl record, and that's
That's cool.
yeah. So it was funny because like she pulls it out and she's like struggling with the thing. She's like, haha, we'll just all just have to wait for a minute, you know? And pulls it out, and who took it?
Debbie Friday took it. No, I'm
Last
sorry.
year.
She took it last year. Who took it this year?
Yeah.
I don't know who took it this year.
It was Jeremy Dutcher. Woo!
Woo, how exciting. That's cool. For his album Moda Woolanok.
Yeah. I am not confident pronouncing it. Because I don't wanna. That sounded very close. So, but yes. So he is the first two-time winner of the al or of the Polaris Prize. He won for his first album a couple years ago, and just won for this one now, which is pretty cool. So the crowd goes wild. He gives a speech. The speech was very, very moving, and very like. Just very like heartfelt, I guess is the way to put it. Like everybody there wants to win, but everyone there is also rooting for everybody else. You know, it's not like I'm gonna step on you to get ahead. It's like, no, we're all in this together, and whoever wins, wins. And I should say, for when they announce who wins, all the artists are backstage. So like no one's like, you know, it's not like they line up or whatever, and it's like, who is it? They're all lined up and they're all probably just bundles of nerves waiting to see whose album comes out, right? So that was a pretty cool moment to see, and everybody was very excited about it. And again, like I think it was a good choice, and he obviously deserves to win. The album's very good and it'll definitely hold up, you know? Like that's one of the things when you're looking through all of the past winners is like, oh yeah, I remember that album. That album was really good. Or like, oh, I don't really remember that one. I have to like re-listen to it, or you know, stuff like that. But I think this one will definitely be one that kind of stands the test of time for sure. But yeah, it was a really just wild experience. It was really awesome and really cool to be a part of it, and really like such an honor to be a part of the grand jury. There was an after party, but didn't end up going to that just because didn't have a place to stay in Toronto, so just kind of went home after. But it was pretty cool. It's neat to kind of like get dressed up for something too.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know you were such a big shot.
Yeah.
You're on the crew of 11, which that's pretty big time. So are you on the board next year, or you don't know, or how does that work?
I'm part of the jury, so I'm part of the main jury,
Are you part of it
and
forever? So like how does that work?
I think it's until unless you do something that breaks one of the codes and they remove you, or you decide like you don't want to do it anymore or whatever.
So is Adam on
That's
the is
it.
Adam on the board? So the board is 211's Punk News.
Oh, sorry, not the jury is like the 200 plus people.
So are but you're in the top board of 11 people.
I was this year. I don't know if I will be next year.
Okay, so was Adam on the board of 11 people this year, or he wasn't?
He wasn't, but he was on last year.
Wow, okay. Well, that's pretty wild. So that's cool. Well, congratulations, Em. You're a big
Thank
shot
you.
now. So are you like quit Punk News and be like, screw you guys, I'm famous now. You guys better start doing what I say because I've got real power. You should do that, and you should like demand money from Canadian bands and say, listen, I'm not gonna vote for you unless you give me some cash.
Oh God, no. You get kicked off.
Well, they're not gonna make, they can't make it public, of course. Hey, I don't know. I don't know if you realize how much power you have now. That's crazy.
I'll become like a fun Batman villain or something. It'll all go to my head.
Well, that's pretty cool, Em. Well, I congrats. I'm glad you
Thank
got to
you.
experience that. That's very rad. That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for listening to my long ramble. I did have something prepared and then it just kind of went off the rails at some point. I think it was the moose comment that was unwise. Pretty dumb.
Well, listen, Em, you don't have to apologize for anything anymore. You're on the Polaris board, so screw everyone else, you know? I mean, like, anytime anyone gives you like shit, you know what I mean? You can be like, "Well, are you on the Polaris music board?" And I'll be like, "No." You're like, "Well, then guess what?" You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing anyone can tag you with because you're on the Polaris board, music prize board, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Very
You're as
true.
big wig as it gets, so don't take any shit from anyone, Em. You're top ranking. Be sure to put that in your resume too.
Yes, yeah, it's going in. I need to update that puppy.
Well, very good.
It'll
Well,
be my top thing.
that's awesome. So, Em, what's your takeaway from the whole experience?
Ooh. I think just like the amount of people out there, you know, like the amount of people out there who are so like excited about stuff and kind of the breadth of Canadian music too, because it's not just like, even though I live in Canada, there are certain genres that I'm not familiar with in kind of a Canadian context. So it's been really eye-opening to be a part of that and see like, oh well, there's like a really like thriving, you know, like scene over here that I wasn't aware of because I wasn't paying attention, you know, and it's like, well, that's not cool. I should be paying attention to that too, and over here, because this stuff's really cool. So it's just very eye-opening, I think. And just getting to meet everybody or meet a lot of people and to hear different people's perspectives. Like that's one of the things that's so interesting, right? Is like we all connect to music in a different way, and being able to hear each other's experiences and come at it from a very kind of multi-lens situation is very interesting. That's what I like about the podcast too. You know, like you see one so, like a song one way, I see a song a different way, a guest will see a song a different way. So it's just a really interesting thing. But yeah, biggest takeaway is definitely just the amount of amazing like music that gets released in a year.
Well, very cool, and that's awesome. Congrats, that's rad as hell.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so
You want to close it
exciting.
out with a song, or what do you want to do? Should we play some No Bro? Should we close it out with some No Bro?
Sure, let's play No Bro.
I agree. I think No Bro should have won. I agree. So I'm gonna file my protest. I'm gonna demand a recount. And I'm gonna tell the Polaris Music Prize if they don't do what you tell them to do going forward, Punk News will tear them apart, much like we tore apart Dixon and the parking lot disaster at
God.
whoever that was. I'm trying to think who
Maryland
else.
Death Fest?
No, Maryland Death. No, that was where people had sex in the parking lot, which I thought was hilarious, not offensive. Well, maybe offensive, but still hilarious. No, the big California Music Festival that was like super expensive. No
Oh my
values.
God.
No
Yeah.
values. So
Yeah, that
tell
was
I'm
it.
gonna tell Plas they better do what you say, or Punk News will aim our high-powered weapon at them and go from there. So, anyways, should we close it out with some No Bro in?
Let's close her out with some No Bro. This is
All right.
Set That Pussy Free.
should twist a little closer now. Head is in the clouds, while your feet are on the ground. I'm feeling glamorous.